up, Rock Church? Good to see everybody. Happy Sunday, happy Sunday, happy Sunday. Who's excited to be in the house of the Lord today? Come on. I am too. Glad to be with you. Welcome back from Christmas. Y'all made it back. Who ate too much food? Who is eating way too much? Come on now. I heard someone say that during the holidays, people gain 10 pounds. That's wild. That's wild. I'm still eating the cookies, no matter if they're good or bad. And some of you guys gave my family some cookies. I just want to say thank you for the cookies. They were very good. Some were better than others. I'm not going to lie. But that's okay. We ate them all. We ate them all. God bless you. Thanks for all the good stuff. If you are eating too much, don't worry, because next week we start a brand new series entitled 21 Day Transformation. And we also kick off 21 days of prayer and fasting. Come on, somebody. Who's excited not to eat? Come on. Prayer, fasting. Starts the Monday after next Sunday. Pastor Miles will be kicking off a brand new series, 21 days of prayer and fasting. The series is 21 days of transformation. And I don't know about you, but I always like thinking about how God's gonna transform my life for the better in the new year. I think God has that for all of us. And so come back next week, bring somebody with you. But today, someone shout today. Today, if you didn't already know it, is the official last Sunday of 2024. And y'all came to church. Come on, give yourself a round of applause. Incredible. Incredible. I'm glad you're here. If you're here for the first time, welcome. By the way, my name is Travis. I'm one of the pastors that serves on the leadership team here. God bless you. Everybody joining us online. Anybody here for the very first time? You came for the first time? That's great. Glad you. Let's thank them for coming. Welcome them. Did anybody, like, your New Year resolution last year was, I'm not going to miss a Sunday in 2024. How many of you made most Sundays this year? Anybody? You made most Sundays. That's incredible. Look around. That's incredible. Look around. Keep your hands up. I think that's let all the people that missed all the other Sundays just look at you for a little bit, just for mentorship purposes. That's incredible. Y'all did it. But we're on the last Sunday in 2024. We're looking to the new year. Let's see who's in the room. Anybody making a New Year's resolution? Anybody doing that? Man, right? No one's doing it. No one's doing it because we just never follow through. That's what I heard. Really, really. I brought some stats with me. Take a look at this. This is pretty crazy. This is America's top New Year's resolutions for 2025, according to Statista. It says that, and they surveyed like 1,000 adults across the country and said 21% want to save more money. Amen. 19% said, I want to eat healthier. Come on, somebody. 21 days of prayer and fasting. 17% want to exercise more. 15% want to lose weight. I'm just confused because it's getting smaller and smaller. They want to eat better, exercise more, but I don't care if I lose weight. It's just like, let's just exercise and keep the same bad habits. I don't know. So eat healthier, exercise more, lose weight, spend more time with family and friends. Anybody? That one? That's a good one. I like that one. Quit smoking. That's still a thing, 9%. And then 9% want to reduce spending on living expenses like food, energy, et cetera. And here's my favorite line item. I am not making a resolution. Come on, somebody. No, there's a stat that says that there's only about 8% of the people that actually follow through on the resolution that they make. But did you notice what didn't make the list? I want to grow closer to God. It's not even on the list of Americans. They're just like, no, just save more money, spend less, fit body, all of that. But God's not even on the list. But here's what I'm thinking, man. I would hope if we surveyed this room or we went online and said, hey, we're going to do a survey, that I want to grow closer to God would be on that list. But if we're honest, I know in a room this size, there's a group of us that, hey, we're leaning into God. There's a few of us that are wrestling with God. There's even some of you that came to church today that are maybe frustrated with God. I'm just grateful that you came to church today. I think it's incredible. In fact, I was walking out here during worship, and I came into the room, and immediately my eyes just lit up because of how many people were here. And so I'm just grateful. You made it today. You made it. You're leaning in. I'm going, man, these people want Jesus. But even if you don't want more of God, maybe you're wrestling and someone drug you here, or someone said, hey, I know this great coffee shop, let's go inside, and they took you to our lobby, and there's free coffee right there. I don't know how you got here. So you may not want more of God. Just know, I want more of God for you in 2025. I do. As one of your pastors, I want more of Jesus for you. And in fact, the one thing I believe that will make your new year the best year ever isn't gonna be better finances, although that will help. It's not gonna be your fitness journey. It's when you commit to becoming a faithful follower of Jesus. When you finally say, I wanna be a disciple of Jesus. Notice I didn't say a Christian. Because you've been around church a while or long enough, you know that becoming a Christian is pretty easy. It's free. You don't got to do anything. In fact, that's what Christmas we just came from was all about. Jesus comes at Christmas, and then he dies on Easter, and we just put our trust in him, and he forgives our sins. We have everlasting life in heaven. It's by God's grace you're saved. It's free to you. And then you and I get to call ourselves Christians. But here's what's interesting about our faith. When you read the scriptures, when you open up the Bible, you don't read a lot about people becoming Christians. Did you know that? You don't see a lot of it in the scriptures that people become Christians. In fact, the believers themselves in the Bible, they didn't even call themselves Christians. That's what non-believers called them. In the early church, and they're gathered like this, they would call themselves, they would ask the question, are you of the way? And that's how they would address each other. Are you of the way? And what's the way? I'm going that way. What's that way? Jesus is that way. Are you of the way? But these non-believers would look at these people and go, man, there's something different about their life. We got to call them something. So they called them Christians. But Christian just means one associated with Christ, or Christ ones. And it's only used in the Bible three times. But in Acts chapter 11, verse 26, here's what it says. The disciples, followers of Jesus, were called Christians for the very first time at Antioch. And so Paul mentions this label Christian that was given, but he's really just talking about people that committed to being faithful followers, to be disciples, not the 12 guys that were closest, but anybody that wanted to come closely behind Jesus. And the people in Antioch that noticed these people following his way, they said, man, they just look different going into 2025. Something's different. It's almost like they're trying to live a life that's different than the rest of the world. We got to call them something. What do you want to call them? Let's call them kind of like Christ-like people. Let's call them Christians. And so they came up with this term. But the question I'm asking us today, and the question I want us to wrestle with for the next 30 minutes is not, am I going to be a better Christian in 2025? But in 2025, will I be a faithful, look up here, follower of Jesus? Will I be a disciple? Will I be a faithful follower of Jesus? Not just a Christian. Here's what Matthew 28, verse 19 through 20 says. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And so if 2024, I don't know what your year was like, but if it wasn't all that you had hoped it was, maybe it could be because you believed in Jesus, but you didn't actually commit to following Jesus. And so if you like titles to sermons, here's my title. The title of my message today is More Than a Christian. I want to pray for you. Why don't you bow your heads? Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for the last Sunday here at Rock Church. And in 2024, we thank you for this opportunity to get into your word and to open up your scriptures. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would pour out your love, pour out your grace, make us more and more like Jesus. We pray it in his name. Someone shout, amen. Amen. Vanessa and I were thinking this week about the fast coming up, and we were asking ourselves, so what are we gonna be fasting from? And then I always think it's a good idea to say, and what are we gonna be fasting for? Sometimes fasting from gets all the attention, but we were thinking about fasting from, fasting for, and we thought about, well, okay, let's start with fasting from, and we said, hey, let's get the kids involved, and let's do no TV. We haven't told them yet, so don't spoil it. No YouTube. What? I haven't told them yet. No TV, and I think just most of what people are watching is just mindless entertainment anyways. Anybody agree with that? Sometimes you need to just kind of not think about stuff and watch some drama, you know, just watch some drama unfold on television. But there's one show that we caught up on, and I've shared this before, so I'm not bagging on this show, but it's called Married at First Sight. I don't know if you've seen this show. And I've kind of shared a little bit about the show, but I just think it just fits the message today. And the way that it works, this show is Married at First Sight, two people who have been set up together. They've been paired by experts. And so there's like a marriage coach and there's a pastor, and they pick these random people that they think will be a good fit. By the way, how many would let me pick your spouse? Anybody let me pick your spouse? A couple people? There we go. Come on now. Hey, Tammy, I got you. I got you. Chris, I got you. I got you covered. Looking out for you right now, okay? I'm gonna be scanning while I'm preaching for you. They pair these two strangers up, thinking, oh, they're a good fit. I think, let's get them together. And then these two strangers, the guy will stand at the altar and super stressed, just like sweat coming down his forehead. And then the bride comes down the aisle. They've never seen each other before. Isn't that wild? But they agree to say, I do. And then, but you can always tell if they're into each other. Like the minute they start walking, he's just like, oh no. Making eye contact with his buddy, the groomsman, the best man. And the best man's like, bro, this is all you, dog, all you. You signed yourself up for this. They say yes to 8 weeks together. Let's do it, let's go. And what you see in the show is it's kind of easy to kind of get along at first, and they're still in this, like, you know, honeymoon, literal stage, that they're at this beautiful paradise vacation, all the expenses paid. I don't got to worry about a job. There's no kids. It's just awesome. But then after 8 weeks, they have to decide, are we going to go from yes, I do 8 weeks of paradise with you to now let's do lifelong, full-on commitment? Because saying I do was easy. Playing married was easy. But love through good times and bad times, that'll cost you something. All the married people said amen. Amen. But that's what it looks like. I don't want you to miss this. That's what it looks like for you and I to go from I'm a Christian to I'm a full-time, fully committed, lifelong follower, disciple of Jesus Christ. It's easy to say I'm a Christian. Calling yourself a Christian is free, but becoming a disciple will cost you everything. Maybe you write that down. Calling yourself a Christian is free. Jesus paid for all of it, but becoming a disciple will cost you everything. Is walking with Jesus the best life you could live in 2025? Absolutely, but it will cost you everything. Maybe the best examples of this are taught by Jesus himself, and he explains the cost of becoming a disciple. And I want you to turn with me, if you have your Bibles, to Luke chapter 14. I'm gonna read out of the NIV, New International Version. Luke chapter 14, Matthew, Mark, Luke. And Jesus teaches on a couple occasions the cost of becoming a disciple. And in this story, Jesus is a full-on rock star. He has performed miracles. He's teaching, he's preaching. He's saying things no one have even heard before. And so there are thousands of followers coming after him. He's a rock star. Anybody ever caught like a celebrity in daylight before at the mall, or you've seen somebody walking and then just a crowd of people following? Anybody? See anybody like that? Yeah? You seen somebody? Yeah? She raised her hand. She's not looking at me. Who'd you see? 50 Cent? 50 Cent? What? Did he look like 50? He did, yeah? Okay, 50 Cent. Okay. 50 Cent. You may have seen back in the day, I don't know, the Jackson 5 or Elvis or somebody. I don't know what your era or genre was, or you saw LeBron walking through the mall, and then you see these people are just, is that him? Is that her? Is that her? Oh my gosh, Taylor Swift. Is that him? Is that her? Oh my gosh. Oh, it's Bruno Mars. Let's go, let's go, let's go. Take a picture right here, real fast. And there's people just coming. This is what's happening with Jesus. He's a full-on rock star, but they're just following him. They like what he does. They've seen him do tricks and miracles. And so Jesus goes, listen, walking beside me and casually onlooking and believing what I did, it's not gonna change your life. But if you follow me every single day, that'll do it. And he explains the cost of becoming a disciple in Luke chapter 14. This is what it reads in verse 25. It says, large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, Jesus said, If anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundation and are not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule you, saying, this person began to build and wasn't able to finish. Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Won't he first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he is not able, he will send a delegation while the other is still a long way off and will ask for terms of peace. In the same way, those of you who do not give up everything you have cannot be my disciples. Jesus, that's kind of strict. It's kind of a high cost, don't you think, Jesus? He doubles down in Luke chapter 9, verse 61. You go back a few chapters. He's teaching on the same concept again. He says, still another said, I will follow you, Lord. But first, let me go back and say goodbye to my family. And Jesus replied, no one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. Oof. Jesus is not holding, he's not playing game. Wait, where's fuzzy warm blanket Jesus? Where's he at? Where's dear Lord, 6-pound infant baby Jesus at? Where's he at? Where's Christmas Jesus? This is savage Jesus. This is thug Jesus. This is 50 cent Jesus. What happened? Jamming us up. He hits him with some strong statements. He said, you want to follow me? You want to be my disciple? Here's the cost. It's high. You have to hate your family. Well, wait a minute. I thought we're supposed to love them and honor mother and father. He said, no. Hey, here's the concept. You missed it. I want you to love me so much that it will look like you hate everybody else. I want you to give me so much affection and so much attention that when people see how you're with everybody else, it'll look like you hate them. You must not like them that much because you're just so overwhelmingly infatuated in love with this person. That's the high cost of following Jesus. Not a Christian. That's free. It's easy to call yourself a Christian. But you want to be a faithful follower of Jesus in 2025, that will change your life, but it will cost you everything. It says you have to hate your family. You have to pick up your cross. And in Luke 9, he says, you can't look back at the old life. I want to give you three takeaways on the cost of being a disciple in 2025. Here's the first thing. Number one, disciples love Jesus first. Disciples love Jesus first. I almost wanted to write, they love Jesus first and most. But disciples love Jesus first. In Matthew 22, verse 37, it says, Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. In case you thought it was just some, he says all three times. And if you thought it was just a portion of who you are, he says, no, it's all your heart, it's all your soul, it's all your mind, it's everything you got. This is the first and greatest commandment. So this weekend, I'm working in between, you know, Christmas and New Year's, working on my message. I'm writing my notes, and then my kids are playing in our house with the toys they got and the gifts they got for Christmas. And I don't know how you do it, but our kids don't open up, you know, they'll unwrap them, but they're not unboxing everything all at once. They just tend to just kind of throw it places. So we kind of, they unwrap everything, and which ones are you going to play with today? And then the next couple days, we'll open some new ones. But here's the deal. They're at the age, especially my son, where he got like remote control everything. Everything requires batteries. And none of them came with them. It's not AA, not triple. Like you'd think, oh, okay, AA, I got some of those in here somewhere. I got some AAA. No, they need D batteries. Who has D batteries? No one has D batteries. I want C batteries. I want the C plus. Double squared, it's just funky looking batteries. Nobody carries them, and so I'm at the store, and I'm getting bulk batteries at Walmart after Christmas, but I'm writing my message, and my son has the batteries, he has the remote control thing, the car needs batteries, and the remote needs batteries. And then he comes in and says, Dad, can I get a screwdriver? But it's not any screwdriver. You gotta have that little baby screwdriver, you know the baby one? Like, where is that thing, that one time 27 years ago we used and put it somewhere? Now I got to go on a manhunt for the screwdriver. And can I just be honest? My flesh inside me wants to say, son, I'm doing something important here. There's 8,000 people at Rock Church waiting on a message. I got to give my time to this. I'm focused. I'm writing. I'm committing myself to something important. That's what my flesh said. But I'm so thankful for my spirit that tries to align with God, because in that moment I go, you know what? I'm going to put this down and I'm going to go help my son look for the screwdriver that's lost and these batteries that cannot be found. But we're going to put it together, because in that moment I realized every time I say no to what I'm doing, I tell my son, you're more important than my job. I love you more than I love this message. I love you more than I love whatever's going to happen afterwards. Every single time I do that, it tells him, I love you first. This is all that Jesus is asking from you and me. He's saying, show me with your life that I'm first. Show me with your words that I'm first. Demonstrate that I'm not just first, but I'm most important. I don't want the first part of your day. I want all of your day. I want all of your relationship. I want every single bit of it. Disciples love Jesus first by putting him above the money you're making, the job you're striving for, the school that you're attending, the girl that you're pursuing. Disciples love Jesus above and before the hobbies, the guys' night, the girls' night out, the kids' sports, the activities. You fill in the blank, the thing that's taking all of your time. God wants that. I want to be first, says the Lord. The cost of becoming a disciple is you saying no to a lot of things so you can say yes to the greatest thing. I wrote that down for you. The cost of becoming a disciple is you saying no to a lot of things so that we can say yes to the greatest things. And so I say no to the world and I put the rest of my life second so Jesus can be first. He's not trying to be the first part of the day. He wants the first part in your heart. He wants it all, but know that there's a blessing on it. Here's what Matthew 6:33 says. It says, but seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. And so a disciple loves Jesus first, so he rules and reigns on high, and then because Jesus is faithful, he'll add everything else that you need. That's what he does. Put me first, I'll add everything else that you need. And so the cost of becoming a disciple in 2025, number one, you gotta love Jesus first. Here's the second thing. Disciples live a Jesus life. Disciples love Jesus first, and disciples live a Jesus life. Look at Luke chapter 14 and verse 27 from our story. And it says, and whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. If you're not familiar with the scriptures or maybe the story of Jesus, that's a little confusing. What is he getting at? He wants me to go and grab two logs and put them together and walk around all day so that people think I'm a Christian? Is that what he wants me to do? No, Jesus is just saying, listen, I carried a cross, you carry a cross. I died for your sins, I want you to die to your flesh. I want you to do what I've done. Live a life like me. In 2024, this little necklace that was shaped like Jesus called a Jesus piece was popularized. Anybody remember that? Like when it first started, the Jesus piece necklace? Right, then there was T-shirts, and some of you got Jesus on your arm, but celebrities kind of made it real popular. 50, Kanye kind of started it. These rappers and celebrities were getting this you know, Jacob the jeweler, and they go to him and whoever they can find and make this Jesus piece, and they would wear it around their neck. They were wearing Jesus, but they weren't living like Jesus. In 2024, I gotta believe that there was a lot of Jesus piece wearing Christians. People that are talking about Jesus, wearing Jesus, forwarding posts about Jesus, talking about Jesus to maybe your friends and family. The problem was your life just didn't look like Jesus. You were Jesus peace Christian. But the invitation to be a disciple more than a Christian is to say, I'm gonna love Jesus first, then I'm gonna live a Jesus life. 1 John chapter 2, verse 6 says, for whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. So how does he live? Well, Jesus lived a life of prayer and fasting. That's why next week we're gonna start praying and fasting. Jesus lived a life of love and peace and patience, so we will live a life of love, peace, and patience. He lived a life of obedience, commitment to the Father. Jesus lived a life of service, sacrifice to others, forgiveness, faithfulness in his calling as our Savior, humility. He honored others and his friends, joy in the midst of trials. Jesus lived a life of supernatural power. That's why you and I are called to pursue a life of supernatural power. He lived a life of authority over the devil. That's the Jesus life. That's the example. And so Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 and 2, follow God's example. Therefore, as dearly loved children and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. And so Jesus says, unless we pick up our cross, not the one that you wear on your neck, not the tattoo on your arm, not the t-shirt or the hoodie, not the Jesus peace necklace, no, the one that I'm carrying, unless you do that, you can't be a disciple. You can get salvation. That's free. All are welcome. Minimum qualification is just to admit that I've failed. You can have that for free. That requires nothing. I'm saved. I'm in heaven. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But maybe the life didn't change because you were saved, but you're not yet freed. And if I want to be set free in 2025, I got to commit. I'm going to follow Jesus everywhere he goes. But I know, look up here, it comes at a cost, Rock Church. I don't want you to be confused about it. Comes at a cost. The first thing, we got to love Jesus first. The second thing, we have to live the Jesus life. To be a disciple, you pick up your cross and actually live like him. And number three, disciples leave the old ways behind. Disciples leave the old ways behind. I know for some of us, that's an expensive ticket because 2024, at least in your memory, was kind of fun. So you thought it was fun. But as you reflect and think back, the old spending got you into debt, and the old habits drove you to the addiction, and the old ways drove you mad. The old friends got you drunk. The old decisions almost ruined your marriage. So if you're just honest with yourself, how good were the old ways? 2024 and the year before that, were they that good to you? Luke chapter 9, verse 62, Jesus replied, no one who puts a hand at the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. You can't go back to the old life if you want the breakthrough that comes with following Jesus. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 says, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but the one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. I haven't figured it all out. The one thing I do know is I'm letting go of that stuff because it wasn't that good to me. And I'm letting it go because I'm looking ahead and I'm looking ahead and I'm pressing forward at Jesus. Why? Because there's a reward for me, the prize that God has called me heavenward for in Christ Jesus. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22, it says, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off the old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. Why? To be made new in the attitude of your minds and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. You were taught on December 29th, 2024, to put off the former way of living, which is being corrupted by the evil, deceitful thoughts and desires. Why? So that you could be made new in 2025 in the attitudes of your mind, putting on the new self, created to be like Christ in all of his righteousness and glory. Is the stroller here? As Vanessa and I were cleaning out the garage and thinking about what is not coming with us in 2025, this made the list of not coming. We have had this double stroller for at least 7 years. At the time when we got it, I think it was like the Rolls Royce of strollers. It's called a baby jogger, something like that. Yeah, City Select baby jogger. You just want to go jog with the kids, you can do it right here. I want to say it was at least $800, something like that. And people kind of, we had the kids and the baby shower, and they can, so we can get the best one. And so thankful for that. But my kids are old now. They're 7 and 9. But we've had this thing with us for a while, and we thought to ourselves, every time we think about giving it away, we go, well, maybe we just hold on to it in case, just in case, we go to that one theme park once a year, and after 5 hours of walking around, the kids get tired. And they can jump in here somehow, and my daughter can just straddle it this way, and just hold on for dear life. She's tired, asleep. And my son can be in the front, and we'll just drag him or push him somehow. I show you how ridiculous that is. My son is big. This is what they look like, right here. This is what my son looks like. And we look just as ridiculous. People just staring at us like, that's terrible. That is bad parenting right there. Just judging me. I don't tell them I'm a pastor. I don't do that. But we decided these kids had outgrown this thing. But as silly as this looks, as ridiculous as this feels, in 2024, this is the life that you were living. You were sitting in old ways and old things that you have outgrown, that are holding you back, that are cluttering your life. In 2025, there are some old people and old ways and old patterns that cannot go with you as you follow Jesus into 2025. They can't go. They have to stay. By the way, we decided we don't want this anymore. We're giving this thing away. And so if you can use a stroller, you can come find me after service and you can have it. But I need it for one more service. I got to preach this message again. And then you can have it. That's for real. We don't need it. If all you're after in 2025 is salvation, listen, it's free. It's so good. By the grace of God, you didn't earn it. He loves you as you are. His grace is sufficient. It's by his blood, his stripes that we were saved. But I'm concerned that you won't be set free from the old ways. I want you to be set free in 2025. And I believe that it won't be a New Year's resolution commitment, but it will be a new life 2025 following Jesus commitment. I'm going to be a follower of Jesus. A disciple leaves the old ways behind because the new way with Jesus is that good. We don't have much time, but I just want to show you this video quickly. In the year 2000, I was at the U.S. Open watching Tiger Woods play golf, and my buddy and I followed him everywhere and grew up big golf fans, and just everyone was just climbing trees. It was like Zacchaeus in the tree to watch Tiger Woods. It was crazy. People were getting scratched up, and it was just, if you wanted to watch Tiger from a distance, you could watch him. It was easy to say, I was there and I saw him. But if you wanted to follow him, it came at a cost. In 2019, Tiger Woods made a little comeback, and the people started to surround him. I want to show you this video. Take a look. That's just a man. It's a flawed man, just like me, just like you. The invitation today is not to follow a man. The invitation today is to follow Jesus. But the truth is, if you want to be a faithful follower, disciple of Jesus, it comes at a cost. Jesus said it himself. And so my challenge for you today as we wrap up our time is, what are you paying into 2025? Are you gonna love him first and most? Are you actually gonna live a Jesus life? Or maybe he's asking you to let go of an old way all so that you can follow him. If it's from God in 2025, trust me, you want it. And I want it for you. Let's all bow our heads, close our eyes, let's pray together. Jesus, thank you for your word today in Luke chapter 14. Thank you for challenging all of us, every single person, to not just settle for, I'm a Christian, but to say, Lord, I'm a follower of Jesus. What's that mean? I do what he does. I live the life that Jesus lived. I follow in his footsteps. I love him more than anything. He's first, and he's the most important thing in my life. And I'm letting go of the old ways because they can't come with me into the new year as I follow him faithfully. So God, whatever it is that we're giving you today, help us. Holy Spirit, fill this room. As everybody's heads are bowed, your eyes are closed, if you know that you need to recommit your life or give your life to Jesus for the very first time and say, I'm going forward with Jesus, I'm not looking back, I want you to pray this prayer in the quiet of your heart and say, dear God, I admit that I'm a sinner. I admit that last year I failed. I fell short over and over again. But I believe that you love me. I believe that you died for my sin. And I believe that you've forgiven me. So today, December 29th, 2024, I confess you as Lord of my life. I want to be a follower of Jesus. Help me be a disciple. I want to walk with you every single day. So Holy Spirit, Spirit of God, fill my life. Give me a new heart. Give me new eyes. Give me a new mind. Give me new hands. I commit myself to you. As your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed, if you just committed your life to becoming a disciple of Jesus, I want you to raise your hand on the count of three. Don't worry about looking around. This is between you and the Lord. I would love to pray for you and just celebrate your decision. On the count of three, you made that commitment today. One, two, three, put your hand up. You're saying yes to Jesus today in a brand new way. Awesome. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. That's awesome. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. I see you in the top. God bless you. You can put your hands down. Lord, thank you today that this is the day you've made. So we rejoice and we'll be glad in it. And we welcome all of our new family members into the family of God. And Holy Spirit, help every single one of us follow you faithfully into the new year. If it's from you in 2025, we want it. And so we say, Holy Spirit, come. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Let's thank the Lord, our church. Hallelujah.